Welcome, guys, to the second part of this episode. Again, this is DJ Goose.
And Poppy.
And we're going to talk about K-rap. Now, this was a request from one of our listeners, Jose. He's a very big fan of K-pop and K-rap and wanted our opinions about the genre. And we had to research it a little bit because it's unknown territory for me and for Poppy because, it's something that, as Poppy says, we don't default listen to K-rap. And two, it's in Korean. We'll talk a little bit more. Like, they mix in English to it. But overall, it's in Korean. And so, Poppy, before we even talk about it, like, tell us why that's hard for you.
Yeah, well, first of all, if you haven't caught on already, he already said it's Korean rap, not, like, acknowledgement rap, not K-rap. It's Korean rap and Korean pop. Korean rap, yeah. Just a condescending joke. Anyways, the reason that if you haven't caught on, if you've listened to any episode, especially on the first part of this feature, I'm huge into lyricism, right? There's the concept of what's going on either culturally, in their mind, the braggadocio. So just understanding verbally what they're saying, who they're going after, why they think a specific way or tell a story is what captivates me, the specific words that I can understand and digest. And because I can't understand their language, it does make it more difficult for me to listen to. Is it fun to listen to? Absolutely. But I can't invest my emotions or my thought process the same way I can for, obviously, any English or Spanish music. So it's difficult to allow myself to say this is amazing because I can't hear it in the context in which it was designed or originated in.
Right. I think everyone would think that's a valid viewpoint to consider while listening and dissecting Korean rap. So with that in mind, let's get started. Let's talk a little about the history of Korean rap and how it got started. And we'll talk about the parallels of how it started in the U.S. So in South Korea, it's gone through different changes in its government. And it wasn't until the reformation of its democratic government went to the Sixth Republic, which was in the 80s, is where a lot of people say this is where the change in Korean music began. When this started, there were only two broadcast stations, and they controlled what South Koreans listened to. And a lot of the songs were slow ballads. They were, the way that people describe it was Lawrence Welkish fusion of traditional music with pop standards. Now, that sounds kind of weird, but I'll be playing some of this stuff in the background, and it just is boring. It's like they were stuck in the 60s, and they're playing stuff in the 80s, when, like, in the 80s, it was all about, like, Madonna and, like...
New World Order shit. That's why they did it.
And so... excuse me. And so I would agree with, if anyone was listening to that, they'd be like, we need a change now. We can't keep listening to this. And slowly but surely, songs coming out having some sort of influence from rap start happening. So there's this artist called Sanu Lim, and his song was called Recall. And a lot of people say this is like kind of the first taste that people had with Korean music. But again, it's kind of like in the beginning of hip hop here in the U.S., it kind of came and went. It didn't make a lasting mark. And so that was like, in terms of the being in the spotlight, that was like the first little glimpse of it. And then all throughout, the 80s, the kind of like what happened with hip hop here is it started with dance performing. And so they had all these dancers in these clubs, playing and, dancing, and then people like started getting to the culture, like, oh, this is the song, they have the drums here, they're sampling this and that, and they're the b-boys kind of basically for Korea. Anyway, so having all this exposure, they didn't really get a chance to, or rap didn't get a chance to make actually a huge lasting impression until much, much later, which was in I have to look up my notes really quick. It was in 1991. So, like I said, they had all these different variety shows or music talent shows, and they had this band come up, and who performed a song that's never really been heard, or heard in any way, and they took it from what was happening in the States. And this was from the group called Seo Taiji and Boys. And this is what a lot of people credit. This is where hip-hop started for Korea. And the song was called Nan Arayo. And this song is hilarious because this song, like I said, it happened in the 90s. And they sample Flavor Flav in there because you hear, yeah, boy! And then they start dancing and start singing or start rapping.
What's the song called?
It's called Nan Arayo. And I might be pronouncing it wrong, but that's the way I'm pronouncing it.
Is that the one on Ninja Turtle or Ninja Turtles? Three Ninjas Kick Back?
I don't know. I'm not exactly sure. So what was interesting about this is they fused American style pop with South Korean culture with this song, which was never been done before by this time. Is it the song? Yeah,
yep,
okay.
That's where I heard the song.
Okay. So this is the funniest thing though, and again, we'll go into what was happening in hip hop in the US at this time. But this song, the judges hated. They got the lowest score that night. They're like, no, this is not good. And what was interesting though, the irony was that after this song was debuted, it was number one on the charts for 17 weeks. It was a streak that took 15 years to break by another artist.
Oh really?
Yeah, 15 weeks. When they saw this, like, okay, there's money to be made here. The industry was like, we have to like go ahead and profit on this. And so a lot of other bands started coming out. We had one of the guys from Seo Taiji and Boys, his name is Hyun Jin Young. And I might be saying that wrong. He started to introduce a lot more rap into the Korean music. And what happened is there was a lot of people that were like Korean American who wanted to bring over the rap that was happening in North America and bring it to the US to the Koreas, North South Korea. And so they did it with like mixing in Korean and English into the songs.
Did you what era did you mention this in?
Like, this is the 90s.
Well, because didn't the Seoul, I read this as well in part of my research, they said that when they started noticing that change was, I think, at 88, Korea Olympics in the winter.
Yes.
Seoul. That's when, like, the stateside Koreans, when they went, decided to, like, bring that over. And so that's in the early 90s, the development is what I think what you're after, right?
Yeah, okay. The development, but it didn't show up till the 90s. Okay. And then the people from that group, they started to expand and try to get this going. They basically said that they wanted to use black music to Korea, is, like, the wording they said. And so with this, there were two types of rap that was born. There was Korean-Americans who imported American hip-hop aesthetics, and then they had Korean-born Koreans who explored the possibility of rap within their language. Now, this is interesting because, again, we don't speak Korean. I don't understand
understand a single word.
Yeah, I understand maybe one word.
I don't.
Maybe. And what's funny is, like, there's in South Korea, there's a lot of dialects. You know, and here we have different accents, and in the U.S., like, we have, I guess you could call them, I don't know if you want to call them dialects. But
yeah, you can easily call them dialects, like the South, and even in the South, just certain areas speak so differently.
Yeah, and what they did, though, is a lot of these Korean-born Koreans who were coming out, they didn't want to go the way of the Korean-American style. They wanted to do their own just with Korean culture and all that stuff, and what's interesting is they try and keep it all inclusive so that everyone can understand it regarding what dialect, which is funny because if you look at it here, a lot of the rappers here, they don't care about that. They want you to know
where they're from,
like from the dirty South, like Nelly, like tried to do like, you know, there and her and
manicured
toes. Yeah.
And then even in Spanish music, you obviously speak Spanish, you hear it, like, you know, when they originate from Puerto Rico, from Mexico, wherever, because they keep that intact. There might be a word here or two that they use that might be recognized, I guess, globally, or I guess just being observed or recognized just because now the music has exposed them to that kind of dialect and language and slang. But they still use their slang, and it's up for the listener to either listen to it or just, you know, it's one word here and there. Who cares?
Yeah, and it's interesting. It's funny. It's interesting that they're so they want to be
it's weird.
Conscious, and they want to be inclusive to everyone. And so kind of going, I'm talking just a little bit more about the history. I just want to go really quick because there's tons we could talk about for a while. But there's one of the bands that's a group that's called, they're called like the Godfathers, and it's called Drunken Tiger, and it consists of three different rappers. So you have Tiger, JK, and Yumi Ray. Yumi Ray is actually one of my favorite rappers because she's Korean American, and I'll get to her in a little bit. But they formed the Movement Crew, and is an influential hip hop community that gave rise to different groups like Dynamic Duo, Leah Singh, and Epic High, who were their lyrics centered hip hop firmly in the mainstream pop music in Korea. And then different studios or different labels came up, like YG Entertainment, who came out with Big Bang and other huge groups. And basically what this focus on rap, or this explosion of rap in Korea, what it did is it made it a staple in a lot of the K-pop bands. Because if you look at BTS, I think a lot of people know BTS outside of Korea because they're really huge. They did songs with Nicki Minaj, with Halsey. They are centered in hip-hop as well. Some people might say no, but from what I understand and from what Tiger has said that they are based in hip-hop, and that's what they're bringing over to overseas. But like, if you have other K-pop groups, like you have Blackpink, you have Twice, like, and any other group, their idols, they have a designated role for a girl, which is rapper, which is something we've never seen here in the U.S. And we'll talk about like what like good and bad about that. But what's funny is like they're trying to push rap in their industry much more than I think they're happening here. Because as I talked with Poppy, like, there are radio stations here that if they have a rap verse in a pop song, they'll take it out. Like, it's crazy. Like, they have the Maroon 5 song with Cardi B, and they take out her rap part. They have the, what's that one song? I know the Maroon 5 song, the payphone song they took out Wiz Khalifa.
On E.T. with Katy Perry, they'd remove Kanye West yeah. verse, yeah.
Like, it doesn't, and on the Katy Perry song, the California Girls, they took out
Snoop Dogg's verse.
He's, like, in and out, but he's, like, all in the song, like, yeah, in different parts.
He's sprinkled throughout it.
Yeah, and they took them all out. Like, it's so interesting how they're trying to get away from or like separate the genre, where South Korea is trying to put it together. And there's also issues, or some people have issues within the rap community in South Korea of them doing that. But again, we could go on forever talking about this, but let's kind of go into the songs. Okay, so again, Jose gave us a list of different people to listen to. And probably I'm going to have you go first because, again, I've been a little bit more exposed to at least the K-pop aspect of the music, and therefore I had bits and pieces of K-rap exposure to. But this was probably one of your first times. So you, as a first time listener to this, like, what there might not be much you can say, but what kind of stood out for you? What was your overall opinion of it?
So this is
this is gonna be like
it's interesting because, again, it's I was listening to something I didn't understand, which,
right,
again, I can grasp generally the entertainment value. Yes, excellent production quality. I don't really watch music videos very often, but for this one I figured I'd give it a try because that's part of the experience, right? Especially with not just the K-rap but the K-pop. It's I don't want to say it's contrived in a negative way, but there's an aesthetic of it that's very, very practiced, and it's just like in English, but I think there's some removal of some personal aspect to it from my interpretation of it, right? Mm-hmm. Like I said, they're the K-pop specifically, it's, I want to say, emulating like boy bands, right? I think NSYNC kind of captured it. So Backstreet Boys was, in my opinion, the best boy band of all time, still is. But NSYNC brought in that dance element extra to it, right? The over-the-top visuals, over-the-top production, and the synchronization of the dance. And that's where K-pop started getting into, and like the visual value of the music video is just all, it's almost so contrived. And again, if I understood the language, I'd interpret it differently, but it's this falsified, here's just this scenario. But again, it is entertainment, so big business, and it's odd that it's actually made its way over here, because we were on another podcast and I've mentioned before how it's anyone here, typically stereotype, if you're like this American person who's never been outside the U.S., and you only speak English, you don't accept any other music and you do not listen to anything unless it's absolute English that you understand. Mm-hmm. And you pretty much hate everything else. I don't feel like I fall into that category. I mean, obviously I speak English and Spanish, and there's other songs that I'll listen to in Italian or Portuguese. Again, I don't know what they're saying, but I enjoy the energy. And
yeah.
So, I don't know. Seeing that it's finally making its way stateside, and I don't know if it's a scary concept for those people who are like, oh, we hate anything that's not English. Well, it's finally making its way. They have concerts out here in like L.A., New Jersey. There's people at work that love the Korean culture, and I see it. And she went over to Korea by herself for like a week or two, and then her and her friend went out to New Jersey to go watch a Korean band. I can't remember their name, but it's on Netflix too. My sister and my mom watch it. And I've actually sat and watched a couple episodes, and some of them are pretty funny and pretty cool. But I don't know. Overall, I enjoy that they're masters of their own craft, right?
Right.
Like, they legitimately study how it's done. And aside from, again, maybe verbally, I don't know what they're saying, everything else is there. So the fact that they were able to not emulate but truly master what that music skill set is pretty impressive to me.
Yeah.
Because obviously, I don't know. That's, I don't know if they have – I'd imagine they would have some sort of a – cultural identity, like music that's exclusive to them with certain instruments, and obviously this is not there. That's not traditional for them at all. I'm sure plenty of Koreans on the homeland hate it because it kind of defies their culture traditions, but it's good for them to be able to kind of get out there and do that.
It's funny that you bring that up, because I just want to bring up Japanese music, because Japanese has like their pop music, and then they have their traditional music that still charts like way high. And they have like, I guess they have this balance here, whereas in Korea, South Korea, I don't see that. I see like everything's about, let's push all these bands, let's make them sound adult, like, and make them sound appealing so that we can get them famous and make money off of it. I guess stepping away from that a little bit, talking about the music itself again, I don't understand much if anything. What I like to do is with any music I don't understand the language to, I like to, even though I don't understand it, to look up the lyrics that they have, like the actual lyrics, what they're trying to say, and the interpretation, translation of the lyrics. And one of them, and probably one of my favorite rappers aside from Epic High, which is a group, was Yunmi Rae. Now, what's funny is she's married to Tiger, and they have Drunken Tiger, which is a group. They have another group.
Oh, Tiger, Make It Nasty guy, yeah. You know, Rack City.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm
yeah,
kidding. It's not him. It's not him.
Yeah, no, it's Tiger. But they had another band. They have Drunk Tiger, and they have another group called MFBTY, which stands for My Fans Are Better Than Yours.
Oh, good. Goody.
but Yunmi Rae, I just want to focus on it a little bit, because her mother's Korean and her father is African American, and she has this song called Black Happiness, where basically she talks about she's talking about her being discriminated against. Because she's not fully Korean, and it's interesting because you don't really, I haven't seen anything like that outside of the U.S. Like, I've heard other rap songs in Spanish, which is very, very different, and in other countries. But this one really hit home, or really, it was like, wow, this is really interesting. She's not talking about anything pop or anything. She's talking about her own story and how she felt, how music saved her. Or how music was an escape for her, but what she had to do to stay in music. In that song, Black Happiness, she talks about how she started when she was 13, but she had to say she was 19, and she had to be 19 or it was 18, like, for a long time to keep going through this. And it's actually a really, really beautiful song. Now that I even though I don't understand what she's saying, just the message she's trying to portray is something that I can be like, you know what, that's great. And they have other songs, and Epic High has that too. Like, they have a song about I forget what the name is. But they have a song about about him not being with his friends anymore, like, because he's, you know, gotten he's like had a kid and all this stuff. And it was really funny because in my adult life, like, maybe I can't get with all my friends because they're married or they have kids, and so we really can't get together like we did in the old times. And this song was just kind of a reflection of that. It's they're like, you know, even though we're not always there, like, we're always going to be, you'll be my brother forever kind of message. And they have a lot of that in their music, where it's some sort of either about love or something sentimental, where rap here is not that at all. Like, it's all, and but what's funny is, like, but when you talk like to people who are trying to talk about the other hip-hop community, they have all that, I guess you could say, rap elements that you expect about sex, money, and drugs and all that stuff. And the trends that are happening in hip-hop here in that community, you can see it. So there's a show called Show Me the Money, And they're like rap.
That's the battle rap.
That's the battle rap.
That's the piece I liked, actually. And, it'd be cool to get kind of that with legitimate rappers. I don't think they do it. There's too much like ego at stake for them, to be 100% honest. But
well, this I like one, that. Well, this one, like I said, you can make the argument that it's a little bit more. They have enough time to write stuff.
It's scripted.
So it's scripted. You could make that argument, and I'd be like, yeah, you're probably right. There is some of that in there.
The contrived concept. But either way, it's a neat concept, and I like it.
And they take a lot of underground rappers. Like, I guess here you could call them SoundCloud rappers, and put them up and be like, let's see what you actually got. And it's actually really cool because you see some of the, like I said, some of the trends that are happening in here, over there in South Korea. Like, you hear that trap music, you hear like the ba 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 bum, ba 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 bum. Like, you hear, it's fun. Like, you can see them mirroring what's happening here. And so if you like that style, you like them or their take on trends happening here, I would say watch that. Show Me the Money. You can find tons of clips on YouTube. It's funny because like one of the ones that I liked is this like 12 or 14 year old kid who's a rapper. And it's funny because they have punchlines in it, but I can only read the subtitles. But sometimes the people are like, oh my gosh, that's so good. And I'm like, I didn't sound that cool. Like, reading the subtitles, but cool. I don't know.
Well, it goes back to the point of like lost in translation, yeah. Right? The way things are spoken and emotion wise, I think honestly, English is. I mean, I only know really two languages, but out of the two, English is completely bland. Like, just there's no emotion behind the word. It's literally just a word. So, like, the way you have to structure it and set it up is far different. I think you have to give more context to it. When in Spanish, there's some phrases that are, like, extremely expressive with just a couple words. It carries more weight and significance behind it. So, reading it, again, it from Korean, I imagine the same thing. They probably have, like, this expression is this significant. But because English, you have to translate it word for word, and there's not maybe a similar phrase, or the context just completely gets lost. So, okay, I know what you meant, but that seems odd. But, I mean, they loved it, and maybe it's a cultural thing.
Yeah, I mean, they say, like, a lot of them have double meanings and symbolism not in the videos, but also in their rhymes and their puns. But, again, like, it doesn't work. Sometimes you get lost in translation, so you can't really be like, oh, that was witty. You can only go by the audience reaction, like, oh, that's witty? Oh, yeah.
You just read the audience and go
with
that. Yeah,
just read the audience, like, was that good? Okay, yeah, I'm going to say that's good. And some people just like the way that they sound. And I think so, a lot of them have that delivery. I think a lot of K-pop artists, whether rappers or whatever, have that ability or have trained enough to give that to people.
No, phenomenal audio aesthetics. I give them that. Like I said, that they've mastered that piece. It sounds fantastic.
And now here's the part that I wanted to talk a little bit more about, and a lot of the differences. And in my opinion, rap or rapping in South Korea is not really looked at as a huge, huge talent, just simply because it's a role that needs to be fit in a lot of K-pop groups. Like, rapping aside, like the actual community, they're using rap as in a lot of their pop music. And I don't know how much of these idols go through to become rappers or to be put in that role, but I feel like it's being oversaturated because every group has to have that rapper. And and a lot of the times it's even sometimes like a sub role of their main role. Even though they're rapper, they still sing more than they rap. And it's a concept that's not used here. But in my personal opinion, like I kind of feel it's oversaturated. It's kind of putting the ability to rap much lower of a talent than what it really is. Because it really is a talent. People say it's just talking. It's like, yeah, but you have to sound good. You have to be great with all this and this and this. And it's really sucky when the person themselves aren't writing this. It's not them writing this. It's someone else telling them to write this. That's why a lot of people give crap to ghostwriters or rappers that use ghostwriters, because that's not you. Drake got a lot of crap for it because that wasn't him.
He still does. He's phenomenal. I give him credit. But as far as greats of all time, I can't put him up there because he's used ghostwriters far too often.
Yeah, and that's a lot of the K-pop industry is like that. I can't speak for everything about it, but that's what I've seen most. They're just the voice, but the people in the back are the ones that are writing for them. And so to call yourself a rap artist or a rapper in those groups is a little too much for me. I'm like, I'll give it to like the actual rappers that are in that you hear, because I honestly
like actual K-rap as opposed to K-pop.
Yeah, like they're the ones that I feel like they understand what rap music is, and you can hear it more in their songs. Whereas you can tell someone who's a rapper versus someone who's rapping, and I don't know if that makes sense. But
no, there's a difference. Rap is the concept of just being able to speak in a specific cadence and rhyming, right? That's the verb.
Yeah.
And then the hip-hop aspect of it is all-encompassing. You're writing, you're poetic. There's the just what you do and how you set it up and how you live it.
Yeah, and so that's my whole thing, is like there's people that that do rapping, which are along the K-pop groups, and then there's people that actually are rappers who are making that, you know, their main focus. And so if you're gonna listen to it, I mean, you can listen to both, and you can like both, because I do like both, but I give more credit to the actual rappers in there versus an idol who's in there. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, because again, I don't know too much about the Korean industry. All I know is from what I've seen in videos, from articles that I've read. I just know that the industry itself has it's just very bad.
I wonder if it's like, I would imagine it had to be like ours, right, where my brother, who's actually sitting in the room now, he thinks rap is like absolute trash. Now, and I get his concept, because he only hears the mainstream stuff, but you'd have to like look through things and actually see that there's a lot of talent out there. Like, what comes stateside? Is that the trash? Is it like the Migos, right?
Are we
getting the Migos from Korea?
Yeah.
And are there hidden talents over there that aren't? And like, Nas is well known in the hip-hop community, but unless you're really into hip-hop, like, you may not even know many Nas songs, if any, right? Like, you know that he exists, but you're like, I don't know his songs. Oh, here's this little Pump song that just came out with Gucci Mane. And are we getting their trash?
Yeah,
that's interesting. Like, because I listened to it, and that was a thought, and I never brought it up till now, but I'm like, is this their premier prime rap, or is this just what they're pushing because it's what's catchy?
I don't know. Like, I honestly think, like, a lot of people, even in the K-pop community, like the underground ones, have talked about Tiger and talked about, like, these are the godfather of Korean hip-hop. So I'm like, okay, I mean, that's what they're saying. That's what I read. I mean, can't go on the forum myself and be like, I can't type that. So I'm assuming that we're getting a lot of like, the actual ones that they...
Well, I guess it's relatively new for them. So I guess they are the pioneers for that culture, because... Hip hop is still even relatively new for the U.S. as a genre.
Yeah,
but
it's only been
under 3 decades.
Yeah, under 3 decades. So it's not even that big. But and I could go on forever about the industry. But both industries here have their many faults. Like here, the fault of the rap industry is the glorification of all these vices and all these like bad habits, and people having stances on freeing them for.
Yeah.
Doing such vices. Like you said, you have free this guy, free this guy, free this guy. He killed 5 people, but free him. No.
Yeah, and I don't know if you mentioned it. If you didn't, then I guess they were saying like some controversy with some of the artists over there. They found them having like orgies and just like sex with several strangers, and that's frowned upon in their industry. So I guess he retired because of that controversy, where before we started recording this second part of the episode, DJ Goose was telling me that, and I'm like, that's funny, because out here, specifically Tay-K, I don't know if anyone knows him. His music isn't good at all, and I'm not going to promote it. But he's charged with killing 2 people. Like, and I think one of them is proven. Like, he was involved in assaulting some, like, old gentleman and actually ended up killing him. And he's in jail, and there's all these people, you know, free Tay-K or whatever his name is. I'm like, okay. I mean, I understand that there is social injustices for the black community, but if you were caught red-handed and proven that you murdered a guy, I mean, I think that's hard to defend.
Yeah.
I don't think I can stand behind that.
No.
If you're wrongfully accused, sure, you were wrongfully accused. You shouldn't have to pay for that crime that you didn't commit. But if you committed it, and it carries a certain weight. Granted, there's some legal ramifications that are very biased towards that community.
Right.
But even then, he should serve something for killing someone.
Yeah. And then there's other ones like Tyga. With it, I forget his song, but he samples that song called Children, that piano song, where he talks about his relationship with Kylie Jenner. And he basically says he had sex with her when she was under 18.
Underage. And he knew it.
Yeah, he says that. She's like, she was young. I should have waited. She's a big girl down when she's stimulated. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
And no one cares.
No one cares.
No one cares.
They're at the Breakfast Club, they asked Kanye about it. And Kanye was like,
He just kind of, like, ignored it. Just.
And that's the whole issue. It's like, no one said anything. If that would have happened in Korea, this guy probably would have been killed.
Honestly, yes. That culture is an interesting one.
But like I said, what's funny is like their controversies are, I would say, tame compared to the ones here. And again, I can't really look at all the huge ones, the orgy one or the guy.
Really, what you're saying is their moral compass is far more in tune than over here. As much as all these social justice warriors think they're so good,
there's one where on that show, Show Me the Money, there was a rapper, and I think it was a girl or it was a guy, I can't remember, but they said the line about the other person who was a girl and said, you spread your legs wider than at the gynecologist. And people were not having, they're like,
didn't they have to issue a public apology?
The network and the rapper themselves had to give a public apology about what they said.
That's natural here.
Yeah, that's an everyday
thing. That's a chorus here.
Yeah. Your legs are wider than not the gynecologist.
Like the Whisper song? That's a bad song. Yeah. They played that on the radio, edited. I don't know how they got away with it, but they did.
But Korean rap is interesting, to say the least. I say that I really like it. I think what's going to happen, though, is the industry loves the commercial sound. If you love K-pop, that's what you've seen. Like, Even if they could have bad songs or bad lyrics, it's all about if they look good. Like for K-pop groups, they're pretty. If the guys can dance really well, if the girls can dance very well, and if they're promoted enough, they'll get big, despite what they're seeing, what the content is, and that commercialization of the K-pop is also affecting the K-rap. The K-rap is like, well, we have to do the same. They have rappers or they have rapping in it. We have to compete with that. And so
they gotta get their money.
And so I'm hoping that they'll try, I don't see this happening, but I hope they try to distance themselves more from K-pop instead of trying to blend in with them, because that's what Korean music, in my opinion, is doing. They're trying to put everything the same, and if that does happen, the hip-hop community is just gonna lose any individuality that it has. That's my opinion, though.
It's for the money, and when you focus solely on that, then you kind of lose it. And again, that's why we're in this whole mainstream concept of hip-hop is dead, as Nas once made an album titled that.
Yeah.
Because of the commercialization, it was no longer about the individuality, the concepts that they can bring to the table. It's what sells the most, what's just going to bump in the background, and these kids are going to hop all over it.
Yeah, and again, I really hope that they get away from that, because I said I do like a lot of the rappers that are on there. Epic High is probably one of my favorite K-rap groups. I would highly suggest listening to them, because they do have some English songs in there as well. You and Me, Ray, Tiger, they're really good. Dynamic Duo is pretty good. I mean, I could go forever on a list. The last one would be Simon D, or Simon Dominic, as he's known. But they're gonna lose their individuality, or lose what makes hip hop unique, if they keep trying to compete with K-pop in terms of, let's make it sound like them. But that's my opinion. I really want to hear yours. I if you do listen to K-rap, let us know. Like, am I completely off the ball, or do you have more insight on what K-rap is? Like I said, I try to research as much as I can to get an understanding of the background, listening to the music, and reading different types of interviews, both with people who are from Korea who listen to K-rap and people outside of Korea who listen to K-rap, and follow more of the trends of it to understand what's going on here. So let us know, and email us at hiphopsoiree2018@gmail.com, and tell us your viewpoint on it, if you care. So yeah, that's it for part two and for this lengthy special episode. This is David the Smash Fan. Oh my gosh, wrong podcast. This is DJ Goose.
And this is Poppy.
And this is Hip Hop Soiree.